Section 115-161.2C. The motion there was to delete that entire section and to replace it with, if a non-conforming off-premise sign is damaged by any natural causes such as fire, wind, or flood, it may be repaired or reconstructed as used for the time before the damage, provided those repairs or replacement are completed within 12 months. That is consistent, I think, at the P&Z level. That's consistent with what we see with non-conforming structures. And as we noted earlier, there was some question as to, you know, if somebody, if a sign came down a storm or somebody hit it with a vehicle and it came down, they wanted to at least have the owner the ability to re-erect that sign.
They knocked down a sign with wooden framing?
Naturally.
They want to replace? It's non-conforming. Do they replace it with the same type of structure? Or if they come in with a, can they replace it with a monopole?
If it was a non-conforming off-premise sign, I'm not sure there's anything that would prohibit them from having, from switching from eight poles to one pole. They're simply replacing what was already there. I don't know, Mr. Robertson, I don't know if you've got any insight.
But it would kept, the replacement
on that.
Would come into compliance?
The replacement can go in the same spot.
But have it height, size, and everything else?
Well, if you get into the next part about...
when you get a house torn down, Jamie, by a storm, the ocean just comes in and wipes out a house that was, you know, in violation of setbacks or whatever, it was non-conforming, even a duplex or something. In the town of Bethany Beach, I don't believe, or Rehoboth Beach, or any of these towns, they would permit the non-conforming structure to go back. They would allow a home to be built there, but they wouldn't allow the non-conformity to be rebuilt. Is that true or?
Well, shouldn't we ask the question, what happens in the county? I don't care what happened to Rehoboth Beach.
I know, I'm just saying, that's. I'm just familiar with those city codes. And those city codes, Mike, are pretty much a standard, whether it's city or county. I'm just saying, I'm just familiar that I know in cities where the ocean is, because there's not much.
Which land is big.
How does that work?
If you're in the county of Sussex, not Miss Larry,
it can
and
be
you
replaced.
Have a storm blows your house, whatever it is.
It can be replaced, but it has to conform to the flood regulations and any other regulations, other agencies before we allow.
Okay, if you had a grandfathered in non-conforming duplex,
it's destroyed by natural cause.
You can put back a duplex.
It can be replaced
with a duplex.
If it was a duplex before,
same footprint.
Same footprint with, or, well, we had to have the flood regulation compliance and mm-hmm. septic regulation compliance, and
pretty
before
high.
To get a permit.
They don't get a permit from County Noah, do they?
They do.
If they live in the town, don't they get a permit from
the town? No, if it's in town, we're not talking about town.
We don't care about the town.
George's talking about Bethany Beach or Hove. So
no, that's an ordinance. That's part of our ordinance. That is part of our ordinance.
Part of your ordinance.
Huh?
Yes, it is. Part of your ordinance. So it can be replaced, but has to conform to those other regulations.
Yeah, broad
code. It has to meet building. It has to meet building code and everything else.
Right. Building code, flood.
But if they had a...
Septic, if it's on septic, before it gets a permit.
A non-conforming structure.
Yep. You can put it back. Because it's been destroyed by natural cause.
Okay.
Yep. More questions?
Well, I just want to reaffirm the question. I apologize for the delay, Mr. President. But if one wants to replace, and again, let us assume that it would be with pilings, because that's typically what would get destroyed, not the monopole one. They are permitted to replace with pilings and not a monopole. Is that correct?
No. It says as used and used as before the time of damage.
Well, as used does not necessarily mean as constructed. I'm assuming. I'm just clarifying on the verbiage.
I think, and again, we could, this is where it could be amended if you wanted it to be clearer. This is language that tracks substantially with what we have in our non-conforming structures section. So if the concern is we don't want to have eight poles, we'd rather them go to monopole, or the conversely is you had eight telephone poles and we don't want you to convert to a steel monopole. It depends on how you would like to amend that.
You're saying eight all the time.
I think that more than likely this is going to be viewed as you could do either one. You could go to the eight, you know, the eight poles, or well, you could do the one. It's going to be, at the end of the day, it's going to be a sign in that same location.
Well, but I would disagree, and here's why. Is because, hold on. Let me allow me the opportunity to share why. Is because in the event, let's take away the natural disaster for a second. Okay, if somebody wants to replace those pilings right now, a non-conforming sign with pilings right now, and if they want to shift that over to a monopole, what's the process?
Typically what we've seen is they're applying to put a new sign up.
That's my point. Which means that if they're going to change the foundation, i.e. go from pilings to a monopole, there is a process that they have to go through to get to change that and get that approval. Correct?
Yes.
Here, without the specifics, you would be allowed to reconstruct this with a monopole without going through that process. That makes sense? So to me, either they had to replace what was there as it was with pilings, or go through the process of getting a monopole on the replacement, as they would without the natural disaster. Does that make sense?
It does. I mean, I understand the logic there. I do note that in the next section, which is D, talks about replacement of. If somebody just wanted to replace a pole, you know, a sign to begin with, a non-conforming off-premise sign, that essentially they're allowed to apply for variances, and they have to go through a process there. This is only what we're looking at in C is only in the instance that somebody, it's actually been destroyed by natural causes, right. Not necessarily because the owner wanted to do that.
I understand.
So,
but the result is the same. They're gonna change the foundation of the sign.
Potentially, yeah, perhaps.
I'm just wondering: can we do that? And as was originally constructed, and if there's a change, then they have to go through the regular process to get that change.
I guess the question would be: is it council's intent? And certainly, it's up to the five of you as to whether or not you want to have one pole there, or eight, or well, you know, however many there may be.
May not always be eight.
Yeah, whatever the number
eight's
is.
Eight's the extreme, right?
Sure.
I don't
sure.
think they're all eight poles.
You know, and I know that one of the things that, if I recall, that came out of the working group was, you know, less clutter. You know, fewer poles.
But so. that gets back, that does not address. I'm looking for simplicity and consistency in what we're doing. So, if that is the case. Then why do they have to go get an approval right now? If it's more pleasing to the eye to get rid of four for one monopole, why do they have to go get the approval to do that right now?
I got you.
Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
That's all. I mean, we do that now. We require that now. So again, why would we not require that here?
So you're saying just replace in kind.
Replace what was there, and if you want to change, then you have to go through the regular process. That's all.
I'm
looking for consistency and predictability in what we're doing.
Even if it's non-conforming?
Well, they're going to get rid of a sign somewhere else.
No, that's different. That's different. That's different. That's different.
This is natural disaster.
I'm trying to confuse us, George. We're watching you.
I'm sorry.
Mr. President, are you?
I'm with you. I'm just saying, next meeting, we're going to have orders to change our building code then. Because they can do it with building. If your house gets blown away, you can do that.
You can do what?
Put it back where it was.
Right. Well, I'm not disputing that.
I think that's what P&Z was trying to do, was make the code kind of follow the same process.
Right. And we're not against that. All I'm saying is that you build, you put in the foundation of what was there before. Or if you want a different monopole versus the pilings, and you go through the regular process. I don't understand.
Well, it sounds like me trying to add more regulations, Mr. Arnett.
It's already there, Mr. Wilson. I just want predictability.
Does someone care to make a motion?
Make the motion, Rob. I think we can get that done.
So
I make a motion on number 10, as it is.
Okay, motion, Mr. Wilson, for to pass or adopt number 10 as is presented. Is there a second for that? dies for lack of a second.
I move forward with a motion for approval as written, along with some additional amendment.
Okay, read your amendment, sir.
So you made it more difficult for you, right, Mr. Arlette?
I'm making it predictable, Mr. Wilson.
More difficult.
Not at all. Pretty simple.
You have what Mr. Arlette's trying to accomplish.
I'm going to try here.
Okay.
Perhaps you leave what's in the amendment, and I can, and we state something along the lines of any non-conforming off-premise sign which is replaced pursuant to this subsection shall have the same foundation as with the prior sign structure, the previously damaged sign structure.
And what we're saying,
you got any thoughts there?
I was just gonna say, if you say foundation, because walls have concrete foundation, right. I would say the same structure.
Yes,
is a better word.
Yeah,
and the word, and the key word is sign.
And this is the only one in the event if something comes down in a natural disaster, right?
So yeah. You got number.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be rare. It's going to be so rare that this occurs.
Mr. Wilson.
The key word here is sign. If you got a sign, what difference how you put it up? Are you put on one steel pole, or you put on a dozen poles? Seems to me, what's the big deal? If we got eight poles, we're going to go back to one pole. Just more problems since poor old guy is putting the sign up. More regulations. Unnecessary.
Mr. Sharp, do you have something to read now? We're not trying to rush you.
How much concrete should we pour? We ought to measure that too, I think. How big a hole we're going to put it, how big a pole we're going to put up for a monopole. No need to mess around with make real regulations.
What this motion does, it allows them to replace it, unlike the current ordinance says perhaps otherwise. So this is a good motion. And all it says is that you will replace it with what was there before.
Mr. Sharp, you have a motion to read, sir?
I do. And I hope if I have misstated this, anyone please jump in. Amend the second introduced ordinance as follows. Delete section 115-161.2C and replace with the following. If a non-conforming off-premise sign is damaged by any natural causes, such as fire, wind, or flood, it may be repaired or reconstructed and used as before the time of the damage, provided that such repairs or reconstruction are substantially completed within 12 months of the date of such damage. Any non-conforming off-premise sign which is repaired or reconstructed under this subsection shall be of the same type of structure as the prior non-conforming off-premise sign.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Read the last part. Shall be the same structure?
Shall be of the same type of structure.
It's got to be same structure, right?
Same type of structure.
In other words, we can't come from eight poles up to one monopole.
Not with this motion, you cannot, sir. We're not going through a process.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what it says. Yes. We have a motion, Mr. Cole. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Arlette. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
No. A non-conforming sign is exactly non-conforming for reasons. And, if you own a non-conforming sign, you darn well know it. And I'm sorry, but... No.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlette?
Yes, as amended.
Mr. Wilson?
No question, no.
I vote no. Motion defeated.
I vote no. Mm-hmm.
Any more motions? Any more motions on number 10? Mm-hmm. Apparently there are none, sir. We'll go to number 11.
Okay. So what we are leaving then is 161.2C. Regarding the total destruction and language there, about 50% or more, all of that would be retained in there.
Apparently.
Okay. Well, next.
Okay. Number 11. That is, and we're in the same page on your ordinance, page 26. This deals with, there was a slight revision here as far as some rewording on the nonconformities with height and size requirements, and I'll just read for you what was suggested at the P&Z level. If you were to look at the line 1086, where it says, as part of, from there on would be deleted, and it would be replaced with, as part of the variance request for a non-conforming off-premise sign under this section, the replacement off-premises sign must comply with the height and size requirements as set forth in section 115-159.5. The Board of Adjustment shall ensure that any non-conformities in the height and size of the sign are brought into compliance by the installation of the replacement sign. This removes one of the things that was to be considered by the Board of Adjustment as to the overall non-conformity. And in the issue that came up, I believe it was presented to you, I know it was presented to Planning and Zoning, was there was a concern that you may have a sign that is in the same location, and for whatever reason it can't be moved elsewhere on the property because maybe there's a pond there, maybe there, whatever the dynamics of that property are, and all they want to do is replace that sign, but they're going to make it the right height, the right size. It may be difficult for them to show that there's this overall compliance as far as the variances, because for all intents and purposes it may be the exact same sign, the exact same location. So there was a concern there as far as that. So that was something that was removed. And they also removed the last two sentences there about no variances, because they've put there that the board shall ensure that those nonconformities as to height and size would be brought into compliance.
And the original reason for the nonconforming is likely what? Just for instance.
You may have a property, let's say you've got a piece of ground where the only place that the sign can be, and let's remember we've also added some differing requirements. So you may have put a sign in a few years ago that met all of the setback or separation
right.
distance requirements, but mm-hmm. because of some of the changes that have been promulgated with this proposed mm-hmm. ordinance or mm-hmm. proposed to be changed, that may be non-conforming.
Mm-hmm.
So if they had a need to replace that sign, maybe it was damaged or maybe there was an issue for some reason that needed to come down and go back in the same location, it may meet the height, it may meet the size, but just in that same location, in order for them to replace it, as it's written, the board would be charged, would have to consider whether the overall non-conformity is substantially reduced. And if it's a sign that is, we're not really changing anything, it's just in that same location, it may be difficult to show that. So I think that was the concern that had been presented to the Planning and Zoning.
But with this, then the board does not have to look at how non-conforming it would overall be or not.
And the new one would come into conformity.
The new one would not. They would come to conformity with height and size, but you may have had some that already did that anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the concern, is if the issue that I have is, say I'm on a piece of property mm-hmm. and I'm 200 feet from, or I guess now that we're 150 feet
right.
from the property line, say I'm 125 feet mm-hmm. from that neighboring dwelling.
Right.
And let's say if I go on over here, I may be 125 feet from my other,
mm-hmm.
I can't bring that any more into compliance because mm-hmm. of perhaps the situation I have. And we have seen that sometimes where you may have a sign
that you
just want to replace,
okay.
and you
and
can't actually
changed.
Replace
uh-huh.
it mm-hmm. and have it more substantially comply.
Somebody's redeveloping a property and the billboard that's currently on the site, off-premise sign, is in a bad position. And they come in and they say, we have a hardship because of where it's located. And the hardship is because of the way they want to place the new building or something like that, I guess. And they ask to move it, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're leading to. So the board can say, okay, well, you can move it and put it here, but you'll have to be conforming to setbacks? No, not necessarily, right? Because there's already one there, and they just want to redevelop the property and
they
relocate it on their site. So if I relocate that, I'm required to, the new one will have to comply with height and square footage, right?
Mm-hmm.
But not distances.
Well, and I think part of it is it's challenging because even there in the way that we have with the separation distances, you may be able to, if you were say you were in violation of your separation distance between another sign or a dwelling, mm-hmm. and you also were in violation of the setback requirement, whether it be the side yard, the rear yard, or the front yard. In order to bring it into one, you may be increasing your nonconformity to the other. And that's one of the problems that some of these properties have. So that was one of the issues that Mr. Hutt raised, was that, you know, if you're requiring the board to look at overall conformity, that may be very difficult to do with a lot of these.
So they wouldn't have to look at that.
So that was one of the reasons it was suggested and planning and zoning recommended it be removed.
Well,
so it's a motion?
By leaving it, what's the hardship that when we leave it with the way it's written?
Then the board has to consider the overall nonconformity, whether that's been substantially reduced.
And
that's
the way they're
a substantial reduction, not
right,
just
and
a
they're
reduction.
Proposing what? That requirement be gone?
That requirement be removed, and there was some rewording of the rest of that section.
The big difference is what?
The big difference there is the removal of that language about substantial reduction.
What do you have a question on that? Are we more, if we should adopt this, are we more likely to have an improved look in the new sign than if we don't allow it to
if
be?
You wait 30 years, you might see it.
Well, I'm trying to look at this. They can, right now, they can consider whether the nonconformities are substantially reduced with moving the sign or changing the size or that type of thing. They do look at that now. In other words, they're looking at the possible improvement, if I understand it.
I would imagine that anyone who is looking to replace a sign, is because they want eyeballs on them, is probably going to try to improve its aesthetics.
Okay. So the way it is now, the board looks at whether it's more conforming than before. What's wrong with that? It would seem to me that would be an improvement.
No, I think what we have on this is not bad. It's not bad.
Make a motion, Jim.
I'll make a motion. We do nothing.
Don't need a motion for that.
I know it.
Anyone care to make a motion to do anything on number 11?
Leave it is.
Leave it alone.
Moving on to
12. The last three that we have, these are motions that germinated from comments that were received by Mr. Hutt following the planning and zoning recommendations. So what I have before you is 12C, and the reason C is because I wanted to make sure it was in a separate column because it was not related to planning and zoning recommendations. The first one, and you'll have to go back, I apologize, it's if you were to turn to page 8, bottom of page 8. This deals with the definition of on-premise sign. And the concern that had been raised both at the planning and zoning level and to you all was that we define on-premise signs to mean signs that are advertising a business on that property. And the suggestion was made that the property that we could include as part of that definition properties which are adjacent to the property where the business is, if they were to have an easement for access or signage, the idea being that you may have a business that does not have road frontage on a road like Route 1, and this would allow you to be able to put an on-premise sign on your neighbor's property that you may have an easement over so that someone would know your business is located in the rear. This was the suggestion that came up. Because it was something that came forward, I thought it'd be appropriate to at least put that in a motion form before you in case you wanted to consider that. If you do not, that's fine as well.
Well, the problem is that, you could be half a mile down a road and get some kind of easement. And there's a natural order to the number of signs that can be placed because the businesses that are fronting these major roads, if you want to have a business on a major road, you should have bought on the major road.
But I just see this easement thing as being...
It says it's got to be on the adjacent property, not a half mile down the road.
Well, I mean, I'm just using, that's being, just trying to draw attention to it. Could be way back.
Anyone care to make a...
Could be a huge parcel. I just leave it the way it is.
Don't have road frontage with a business you got to drive around a corner or do something to.
Mr. Sharp, does this include the entrance signs that would go to direct people onto the property?
This says just a, it's basically a sign for directing attention to an ongoing business and can be on an adjacent property. So if you've got an easement over it, it would allow for that. And the classic example there would be, I think the one that had been brought up was a storage center down on Route 1, where there's a property that was owned behind but didn't actually have road frontage, or there was some contention about road frontage. There's another near the Wawa in on Route 1 where there's a business going behind it.
It just throws more signs in an area that the sign wouldn't be permitted. Now we're permitting a sign to come into an area, and easements are easy to get. And I don't see the...
Mr. Sharp, Mr. President.
Yes, sir.
Could you elaborate a little bit on this? And that would be, if there is a business that has a access to their parcel via the easement, let's just take Route 1. Actually, let's go back. I believe we had testimony, if I recall, from a business owner that came before us. I can't recall his name, but I believe his business was in Millsboro, if I'm not mistaken. And I think the example that was provided, specific to this, is that his driveway was off of Route 113, and his business was set back, removed off of the highway there, behind perhaps another business, and his only access to his business was that driveway with the easement. And because of the setback requirements and because of what was proposed, that he would be eliminated from having the opportunity to have a sign out on the highway. Do you recall this?
It was on Coastal Highway.
So far, was it Coastal Highway?
Wrong road.
Okay, so far am I right in this?
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, if we leave the ordinance as is and do nothing, will that business owner have the opportunity to have a sign anywhere along Route 1?
If he was able to go for an off-premise sign, if there was an opportunity there,
But at that same time, he would have to get permission from the other adjacent, right? I mean, the other parcel.
He would have to do that under this proposal that Mr. Hutt presented as well. Yeah, it's right. Going to have to be an easement. It can't be just, hey, I'm going to put a sign on somebody's.
The problem is right now, Rob, the sign he has is on the other guy, and the other guy knows it, and he's charging him so much, and he wants to move it over on his, but he didn't want to pay the cost. Anyway, it's a complicated thing. It's not as easy as, I don't think, it's a little different, but it is still the idea. He's way back. He has its own, I don't know if he owns that right-of-way back there to that site, or if it's a shared right-of-way. And he wanted to put a sign out on the road. Plus, he's got signs on the building, which you can see from the highway.
Not necessarily. I wouldn't. No. I'm saying not necessarily. I don't know, but I'm just saying not necessarily.
Why not?
I just want to make sure that we don't prevent the business owner. If he's got access, a driveway, a roadway, access to his business off of the highway.
If he owns it. See, the question, I don't believe he owns that access.
No.
And he put the sign on somebody else's land, as I believe the story.
Yes,
and then it became an off-premise sign. He's trying to make it an on-premise sign.
The one, caution is I think that one was a pretty unique one.
Yeah.
I haven't surveyed it, but I would imagine there's probably not many like that around.
No, it's just an odd situation.
You know, the way that this is worded is it allows for, if you've got an access for signage and you have adjacent property, you would be allowed to put an on-premise sign on that property.
Yeah, part of the issue is there are locations now with limited access highways and where they're not giving new entrances, that oftentimes even in Route 1 they will require an entrance to a property off a side road.
Yeah.
So my question is, and Mr. Lank, you might need to answer that, would this then permit the entrance sign, the name of the business, and the entrance off that side, or would it be prohibited if this is not amended?
I think you need to clarify what easement is. Is it an access easement, or is it just a paper easement that gives them the right to put up a sign.
An access easement.
Access easement would be an entry into that property that pretty well perpetually goes with the land.
Yeah.
That would be a location of the improvement or the business.
So that would be permitted without this?
The one I'm thinking of, one of the examples, was an easement that was paper. It wasn't access. The only access is from a Dartmouth Drive, the one I was thinking of. Mm-hmm. Had access from Dartmouth Drive. They didn't have any frontage on Route 1, but they created an easement across another property, and that's where they want to locate the sign.
Okay, so that was done just for the sign?
That was just for the sign. That's what I understood, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
The other example was that there was a easement that physically, a road that goes back to serve George's example, and there was adjoining business. The easement was reportedly, I haven't seen the documents, but it's reportedly shared between both parties.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if I have...
Real quick, I was going to add to Mr. Moore's comment. If it was, you know, a limited access highway, the property would still, presumably in that case, have road frontage, so
right.
That wouldn't come up. But I think you also have to look at it from the reverse, to use the coastal highway example. If it's a property adjacent, think of a large tract on Route 1, like, you know, Rehoboth Mall. Under this, you could get an easement for a property clear behind Rehoboth Mall, like, you know, the eye doctor's property, if that's adjacent to the Rehoboth Mall property. Now they've got a sign on Route 1.
Just another, so we're adding more to the sign, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's just there's a lot of different scenarios where this plays out, not just those two or three.
I would leave it alone, and Mr. Orland address it later on when we make all these amendments that are so easy to make.
Simple question.
Mrs. Deaver.
Yeah, you have this marina on the water, and you have to go down one county road to get to it, and then make a right and down another county road. So you just want to show people at that turn where the boatyard is, where the marina is, and that's not your property. So if you get that property owner's permission, is that something that simple? Is this involved? Something that simple, does this apply to that? I mean, are you not allowed to do that?
That'd be an off-premise sign.
No, you can't do that.
It's off-premise. It's not your property.
Right, you can't do it.
It shows how to get there. Just, you know, this way.
Can't do it. I mean, that's the same.
That's crazy.
Well, state puts up a lot of times. You know,
that's crazy.
The quote-unquote bandit signs, those are technically off-premise signs.
So,
moving right along. Anybody have a motion?
One last question, Mr. President, before we. One last question.
Go ahead, has the floor, please.
So the question I have again is if there is a parcel again that has access to their business from Route 1, an easement that exists, in any way, I want to ensure that the business has the opportunity to have a sign to promote his business. If he's been given a permit, if he's been given access to his business, and here we do something that would prevent him from having access or to a sign that could promote his business, that's what we are not wanting. So the question is, I want a little direction on where we need to be to ensure this business has the opportunity to promote his business.
And I think that's the distinction that's a little bit different from this, because, and that's an important one, if your access is via Route 1, or whatever road it is,
whatever
access, then you should have a sign versus just some easement that gets you a sign to another property.
So therefore,
it's sign easement versus access easement. Yeah,
any,
I think that's what you're saying.
Any on-premise sign would have to be with an access easement. There's got to be a correlation, a connection there between the two. So.
So again, with that goal in mind, is it suggested to be?
But Sam, it's like living on the ocean front.
To keep it as is.
You want to live on the ocean, or you should.
Or we go with the motion.
I think if you make the amendment as proposed by Mr. Hutt, I think you potentially open it up for potential for abuse.
Yeah, a loophole type of thing.
But your point is close that loophole to make it
access easements only.
I just want to ensure that that business has the opportunity to promote.
Deeded and recorded, I guess. Is that how
it
would have
to be? Or
so if that is the goal, then we leave it as is.
Yeah.
Well, in your proposed motion, you could take out the language and or signage and just have it has an easement for access on or along the property.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that would work, Mr. Moore.
Okay.
That way you're protecting someone to be able to put a sign if that's their access, but they can't go and just get an easement for a sign.
Mm-hmm. Well, I move forward with a motion to approve that.
Before we have that written down?
I can.
If you want to read that.
I may, because there might be one other word to add in there. Yeah. Okay. It said, move to amend the second introduced ordinance as follows. Add the language to the end of the definition of on-premise sign in section 115-157.1 as follows, quote, or on a property adjacent to the property on which the sign is located when the adjacent property has a recorded easement for access on or along the property on which the sign is to be located. Yeah. That way we put the word recorded in there to make sure there's something of record for that.
Why can't you put your sign on your own property? Well, it has to be an adjacent property.
Well, you can.
Well,
you
property.
Can.
We're not preventing that thing. This is an option.
So, Mr. President.
This is another option.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. President, so do we need to move forward with motion 12C or with amendment? Is that proper?
Just as it was read.
Okay, so move forward.
That would be motion 12C, what you read.
As amended.
As amended.
I made amendments there.
Right. Right.
We've made two amendments, the recording and then the removal of a signage easement.
Okay.
So I would move forward with the approval of motion 12C as amended.
Okay. Mr. Wilson, second. Motion, Mr. Arlett, Mr. Wilson, second. To approve motion 12C as amended.
Should he reread?
You read it again, sure.
One more time.
Sure.
Just one more time.
Amend the second introduced ordinance as follows. Add the following language to the end of the definition for on-premise signs in section 115-157.1. Quote, or on a property adjacent to the property on which the sign is located when the adjacent property has a recorded easement for access on or along the property on which the sign is to be located.
Questions on a motion?
And that means the easement could be a road. It has to be a road. Access?
It's got to be access easement.
The easement has Correct. To be physical access.
Correct. And got they have it. To meet the setback requirements from the roadway?
They're going to have to meet those. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're, okay. The setback, we're not talking setbacks or anything. We're just talking.
Right.
I just wanted
right.
to know what kind of
and
easement.
And they can still do a 200, so their building's way back, but they can still put a 200 square foot sign right up by their easement.
Any more questions on a motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Well, I and I'll vote yes. I don't think it's a great
no.
correction because maybe directional signs should have been only what permitted to and something smaller, but the ability to put a 200 square foot sign and possibly electronic out there in a business's way back, it just adds to additional signage, you know, along the roadway and.
Maybe we should amend
it. But anyway, I'll vote yes. Okay. Keep it. Yeah,
Mr.
Keep
Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Wow.
We're coming around the corner, boys. There we go.
Downhill.
All right. The next one is motion 13C.
Next time, start at the end.
Again, this is.
What number are we on?
13C.
Let's see if I get it.
Prohibition.
And no this drinks. Is again recommendations that Mr. Hutt submitted that we've put into a motion fashion for you. I do note that this is the one that we were going to circle back on with motion 4, which dealt with potential variances for on-premise signs. We had talked about that. I guess before we get into Mr. Hutt's proposal. The one point I'll bring up, we had talked about the separation distance between on-premise sign and off-premise signs. And when you look at, I'm on page 17.
Oh, 17, okay.
Subsection 6. It states that no variances, except as otherwise permitted in the non-conforming section, no variances shall be issued from any of the regulations in this article for off-premise signs which have been erected or approved to be erected after August 1st, 2016. There was some question about doing variances for the on-premise signs, and that was one of those things we wanted to circle back to that point. When you look at what has been proposed by Mr. Hutt, that entire section would be removed that I just read to you. So there would still be allow for variances for off-premise signs that prohibition would be stricken. Likewise, if you were to turn to page, please bear with me a moment. If you were to turn to page 25, at the very bottom, we had a restriction that there would be no variances permitted from any of the regulations pertaining to electronic message centers. That was also something that had been suggested to be removed. Mm-hmm. So the motion 13C that you have is what would remove that prohibition on variances for electronic message centers and would remove the prohibition on variances for off-premise signs. I note that because we also had discussed the possibility of adding language if you wanted to keep some of that for on-premise sign separation distances.
That's pretty wide.
So the
I have a motion.
16, I mean, page 17, number 6.
Yes.
Only deals with off-premise signs.
Correct.
Okay. So can we deal with that one? I mean, is that
we can break this up.
Let's break that up. And the change there was to just eliminate it, right?
That's correct. That's been what's proposed.
Okay. No. Okay. Then I'll make a motion. We leave it as on that one, and then we'll deal with the second one next.
Does anyone have a motion for 13C? Reference the prohibition on variances for off-premise signs.
Just the first one.
Yes.
The first one.
Part.
If we don't do anything, it stays the same.
Anything stays like it is.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's
correct.
Hold on. I'm reading, Mr. President. I apologize. Just want to reaffirm what we're.
This is just for off-premise.
Correct.
And what it states right now is that there would be no variances issued for off-premise signs.
Right.
Erected after August 1st.
Mm-hmm. Just like what the state of Delaware does.
Mm.
And consistent with the state.
Now, just to be clear, one of the things that was pointed out in Mr. Hutt's letter was he presented that he believed that we would be treating potential nonconforming signs differently. I disagree because we have in there except as otherwise permitted in the nonconforming section part. What that means is that if you have a off-premise sign that for whatever reason becomes nonconforming, whether it's existing now and our new regulations make it nonconforming, whether it was nonconforming before today or whether it goes up and then somehow later becomes nonconforming, mm-hmm. think of something getting built near it that may cause it to be nonconforming. Those variances would be allowed because it would be nonconforming and we have a nonconforming variance process for those types of signs. So that's why we put except as otherwise permitted in section 161.2. This would pertain to if you were coming up and putting up a new sign, new billboard, brand new property, you've got to comply.
Yeah.
That's what this states.
Brand new signs.
And that's what's currently in the code, or proposed code. And then the motion from, the 13C, right? Which is not, what is planning and zoning's recommendation?
This was not,
they didn't address it.
They just left what we have.
Right. Yeah. So, and then the motion 13C, okay, I got it. Okay, all right.
Okay, hearing no motions there, how about then for 13C removes the prohibition on variances for electronic message centers? You want to read that again, Mr. Sharp?
Sure, that's the one that says no variances shall be permitted from the regulations of any electronic message center. In other words, if you're putting up an electronic message center, you need to comply.
Yeah, for new ones. Right. Okay, all right.
Is there anyone who wants to make a motion of reference 13C?
I'll make a motion to pass it.
Make a motion to pass the removes the prohibition on
what it says.
Variances for electronic message centers?
Yes, sir.
Mr. President, I apologize. What page? What page was that?
25.
Okay. Yeah. I apologize.
This is just for new signs again.
Mm-hmm.
Newly erected.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, to remove the prohibition on variances for electronic message centers.
Again, before we go there, what letter?
2.
25.
At the very bottom.
Very bottom.
Bottom thing. Simple. Yep.
These are the general regulations for all electronic message centers, Mr. Arlett.
You come in, you get a special use exception for electronic billboard, you got to comply.
Right. Of any electronic.
Just like the state of Delaware.
So before we, Mr. Wilson, your motion was to what?
To adopt removing the prohibition on variances for electronic message centers.
Pass it as it is. All recommendation is from P&Z.
Under 13C.
Oh, no, wait, he's changed his, wait, about the road.
No, he's not, P&Z didn't weigh in on this.
It's in P&Z. P&Z said they liked it the way it was written here.
This recommendation came from, I think, Mr. Hutt, the attorney. P&Z not weighing on these, that's why it's a C.
Leave it as is.
Okay, well, let me ask you one question, because we earlier, hold on there, Mr. Cole, hold on. So earlier we had permitted the replacement, if I'm not mistaken, with the weather, right, in that section. And we permitted those EMCs. And they actually have some variances, correct?
Remember, this is for a new permit, a new sign, a new everything. We got the regs, the sizes, setbacks, everything else. You come into compliance. That's all. Just like the last one. Now this is just dealing with electronic messaging billboards.
Right.
This is probably a very.
All right. Well, we will leave it. I mean, P&Z.
P&Z's right.
P&Z didn't recommend anything.
I think we'll let it go at this point.
Okay. I have a motion, Mr. Wilson. Do I have a second anywhere? Motion dies for lack of a second.
All right. What's next?
So 13C stays unchanged. Is that correct, Mr. Sharp?
Mm-hmm. All right. I didn't know I hadn't made the motion change it. Or kept as it is.
The last one that I have for you all.
On-premise EMC wall signs.
This deals with, if you were to turn to page 22, and it also bleeds into 23 as well.
Be all lit up, would you?
This, one of the questions that came up, and I believe it was framed in Mr. Hutt's letter that he didn't want to make sure that it was an oversight, that the passing of this ordinance as proposed would allow for an electronic message center in certain zoning districts. The concern was also you're allowing for a ground sign. What about a wall sign? You've got to pick between the two, or a marquee sign, something like that, where if the business that's got, think of you got your marquee front, you may want to have an electronic message center there as well as one out on the road. So what they have proposed is that there would be a revision to 161.1A1 and 161.A2 with regard to you're allowed one on-premise ground sign per street or road frontage, whether it's static or electronic message center, you're allowed one. But you may have any other on-premise signs that are permitted under our code, may be electronic message centers. So essentially, you can't have a ground sign and then an electronic message center ground sign. You've got to have static or EMC, you got one or the other, but you could have other ones that are EMCs as well.
Is the wall sign, could that be EMC?
Yeah, the way that this is proposed by Mr. Hutt is that it would be any other, the on-premise signs permitted in section 115, 159.4A5 mm-hmm. would be permitted. Well, could be electronic message centers. Mm-hmm.
What's the distance between them?
Well, that would be the example of like when you walk into a store and you may have a marquee over.
Yeah,
it, that would be a sign. Mm-hmm. So that could be an electronic message center on top of the one that may be out near the road that says, "Hey, come to my store."
It's there. You're talking about having some
correct
distance there.
Right. This simply allows somebody to advertise their, maybe it's a shopping center.
Yep.
And you got 10 signs out mm-hmm. flowing this lane. Mm-hmm. If you turn in there, you have a sign on the store that says something.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And just so that the portion of the code that we're referencing if you were to look on page 13, outlines the kind of things that we're talking about here, where it says on-premise wall, illuminated awning, mm-hmm. marquee, and projecting signs. Mm-hmm. And there's some limitations there. And then we talk about shopping centers where there are a group of stores. Those are the kinds of ones that would be we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay. Makes sense.
Do we have a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
But what's the motion?
Motion is to approve 14C.
14C. I move for
allows for on-premise EMC wall signs in addition to ground signs.
Yes.
Retains limitation of one ground sign per street or road frontage.
And it's wall marquee projecting as well.
We're going to allow for this.
And
allow for it.
I'm going to stick P and Z. Didn't weigh in on it, and I think our current code here didn't weigh in on it. I mean, they like
it. Doesn't make any sense, George, that you can't advertise on your own store.
Oh, I know.
Signs out here in the middle of the road somewhere.
I know.
And you turn in there, 15 stores lined up, and nobody's got a sign up there. And you go 15 doors through the store you're going in. I mean, this makes sense to me. I don't, but whatever.
I'll second.
Yeah.
We have a motion, Mrs. Deaver, a second, Mr. Wilson.
Would you let me read that, Mr. President?
Please do, sir.
Motion to amend second introduced ordinance as follows. First, delete the first two sentences of section 115-161.1A1 and replace with the following. In the B1 neighborhood business, M Marine, and UB urban business districts, the ground sign permitted under section 115-159.4A4 may be an on-premises electronic message center, provided that only one on-premise ground sign, whether it is a static sign or an electronic message center, is permitted per street or road frontage per parcel, and that the sign area shall not exceed 200 square feet per side. In addition, the on-premises signs permitted in section 115-159.4A5 may be electronic message centers. The balance of section 115-161.1A1 shall remain. Delete the first two sentences in section 115-161.1A2 and replace with the following. In the C1 general commercial, CR1 commercial residential, LI1 limited industrial, LI2 light industrial, and HI1 heavy industrial districts, the ground sign permitted under section 115-159.4A4 may be an on-premises electronic message center, provided that only one on-premises ground sign, whether it is a static sign or an electronic message center, is permitted per street or road frontage per parcel, and that the sign area shall not exceed 200 square feet per side. In addition, the on-premises signs permitted in section 115-159.4A5 may be electronic message centers. The balance of section 115-161.1A2 shall remain.
Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
I'll support P&Z's in our current code.
That is a no vote?
No vote.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Wilson, I vote yes. Motion carried.
Old Janelle's going to be busy. She's all these regulations straight.
What are you wanting to hear for now?
I want to bring something to the council's attention that as we were going through this, I think there was maybe one of those famous unintended consequences.
Uh-oh. Good, okay.
Who unintended it?
Well, so motion 8.
Okay, that's, hold up.
Yeah.
Eight?
Motion
which,
8.
Which motion?
Motion 8.
Number 8.
This dealt with non-conforming off-premises signs.
Mm-hmm.
So you all approved that one, to state that a non-conforming off-premises sign may retain and be periodically maintained as a permitted non-conforming structure unless abandoned or intentionally removed. And that's fine. The change was, it basically took out the language about or totally destroyed, which is, that's fine. The issue comes up with the fact that you all didn't adopt motion 10. Motion 10 dealt with 115-161.2C. This is all on page 26 of the ordinance. So what you left in there was everything that defined what totally destroyed means. So now there's a definition without an original term to relate back to. So I think you ought to go back and take a look at motion 10. I'll leave it to Mr. Moore as the process on that. Okay. Just so you recall, motion 10 was the one that said if a non-conforming sign is damaged by natural causes, etc., It could be replaced if it was rebuilt within 12 months. Otherwise, you've got an inconsistency in the ordinance today.
Okay. So and the recommendation is if we had, the first one we did earlier, what, number 8?
Well, I would know for
to make number 10 comply with number 8, what should we do?
In favor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you want number 10 to comply with number 8, it would be to adopt number 10.
Right. Do you recall if there was a motion on number 10 or?
There was
some changes.
There was a motion, and that was the one we talked about, the type of structure for the non-conforming off-premise sign. It was 3-2 to defeat that motion.
So it should take someone who voted no to bring this back up.
That would be either Mrs. Deaver, Mr. Wilson, or Mr. Vincent.
It needs to be one of those two right now, whatever. So either Mrs. Deaver or Mr. Wilson, or I can certainly get the gavel, Mr. Wilson, needs to bring up number 10 again.
I need to change this back to the yes. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
We do, yeah.
You could
move. For discussion.
So it works with number 8.
Yes.
Because otherwise, we'd have to come back and fix it later on.
Okay. So, Mr. Wilson, since you voted no, you can make a motion to move that we reconsider motion number 10.
I make a motion we reconsider number 10.
Motion, Mr. Wilson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Arlett, to reconsider motion number 10.
I know he's
now, Mr. Sharp, would you read motion number 10
I for certainly us? Would, Mr. President.
Thank you.
As we amend the second introduced ordinance as follows. Delete section 115-161.2C and replace with the following, quote, if a non-conforming off-premises sign is damaged by any natural causes, such as fire, wind, or flood, it may be repaired or reconstructed and used as before the time of the damage, provided that such repairs or reconstruction are substantially completed within 12 months of the date of such damage. Any non-conforming off-premises sign which is repaired or reconstructed under this subsection shall be the same type of structure as the prior non-conforming off-premises sign.
I'll make that motion.
We have a motion. We have a motion and a second.
And I already seconded it.
Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
I still say no.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
I still say yes.
Mr. Wilson.
No.
I'll vote yes, motion carried.
Thank you.
All right, now then, while we're all right here, don't you got in the way. I want to make sure we are all understanding what we've done.
I will happily go through this, Mr. President, with my...
If you would, I want you to verify mine.
That's fine. I do know there was one that...